Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome once again. We're live on a Thursday night this time. We're just all over the road on this network. when you were on the other network, we were kind of structured into, we got this time slot. So you either made it or you didn't. But with your own network, you get to put, if you got time to do a show, do it. My goodness. It is fun to be here tonight. I've got Vince on the line. Vince, how you doing?
Oh, man. Yeah, today's my birthday, you know.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to ask how old you are. I don't think we have an abacus that goes that high.
Yeah. You need a lot of fingers and toes to count my years off. I hit 64.
We didn't light any candles. That burned the house down, right?
Nope. No, I don't even play with. I don't even play with matches anymore because I might forget. You know, burn the house down. Oh, man.
Ask a woman her age, though.
So. Yeah. But, you know, Tim, it's this has been kind of a weird birthday because, I mean, it's just getting depressing out there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the English language doesn't mean anything. You know, words don't mean anything.
Okay.
There's no reality is what you make it for the day. And it's
right.
Like, it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. And so, you know, last night, I mean, I was actually just a little bit depressed and I was sitting there thinking, you know, let me tell you what I was thinking. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I spent the better part of my life, you know, bringing people out of cults, dealing with, you know, deception, you know, fighting with demons.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a good part of my life doing that. Now I'm 64. And you know what? I should be playing with grandchildren. And, you know, I shouldn't, you know, have to be fighting like this all the time. And and it's not like I have the energy that I had when I was younger. You know, so here I am. I'm an older guy, and, you know, it's like I'd love to have a break, but I can't take a break. You know, I can't sit there and enjoy the things that my parents enjoyed at my age.
Right.
Because, you know, I am living here in this alternate reality. You know, and we talked about this on the phone, you know, a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, when I told you the story of when I thought it happened. And because everything changed from that point on, you know, that everything in my life changed. And I saw things start happening around me, you know, that was just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know whether maybe I ought to share that story. You know, it's up to you, but I don't have any problem sharing the story. But, you know, something happened. And it happened back in 2007. And ever since then, it has just been an increasingly rapid decline that I've seen it in reality.
Yeah.
And people today just are not living in reality. So, you know.
Well,
you know,
today, I'm not sure what reality is.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, what my parents give me this advice, and I'm looking at them like, but you don't understand. I can't do that. They're like, you know, keep your. You know, for instance, you know, keep your rent to 10% of what you make.
Right.
Well, back in their day, they'd make $1,000 a month and then pay $100 rent.
Right.
Today, we make $3,000 and we're lucky to keep our rent under $1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a totally different reality. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of these days I'm going to write a book on economics, but, you know, the more I try to understand it, the more I don't.
Right.
It's just one of those things where, you know, we don't keep as much money as we used to. You know,
right.
Save 10%. Yeah. How? I'm already giving all my money to rent.
Yeah.
So you got to have your rent at 10%. Really? I'm lucky to keep it at a third.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but even reality as far as communications and perceptions, you know something changed. And, it happened before the election of Obama, but just shortly before that.
Right.
That I became aware of it. I had my stent put in the spring before the Obama's election. Okay. And it was a miracle that I didn't drop dead, because I just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
One morning when I woke up, and I went to work, and the more I worked, the more disoriented I felt. And I finally realized that I might be having some kind of angina, because it wasn't typical symptoms. I just couldn't handle any pressure. And so I went to the hospital and floundered around there, because there was a line at the waiting room, and I literally walked down to my ex-wife's office. She was the head of chemistry at the hospital I went to. She said, go up to him and tell him you're having a heart attack. So I did, and boy, they got me in a room real quick. But the long and short of it was, is I ended up with the stent. And then I went home, and this was like a very short time after that. I used to go out. I lived on top of a mountain, kind of. I was on the top of a peak, and there literally was a ski resort, little ski resort that was just over on the other peak. But I used to go out there at night, because the sky would get very clear. And, I'm out there and I'm praying. And I'm thinking, what's happening here? Lord, what's going on? And all of a sudden I see this yellow light go from one horizon to the other. It was too big to be a falling star. And it had a very distinct color. So it went from staring out at the road from my front porch, the walkway there, it went from like the left to the right. And then, I'm looking at this and I'm going, man, this is bizarre. And then a minute or so later, a red one, there was a red light that went the other direction. It went from the right unto the left. And now the Lord had my attention. I was like, this was just bizarre. I'd never seen anything like this. So I sat there and I said, okay, Lord, you coming? That was my first thought. Are you coming? And, that's when, it started hitting me. And then all of a sudden I was this voice, and it was like, very quiet, no fanfare. And he says, as of tonight, everything is changing, and your life is going to change.
Okay.
And he said, it's never going to be the same again. And You know, then I got the, you know, I was told that there'd be another financial collapse, the big collapse, because we'd just gotten through the March collapse, where we almost had a financial collapse. They kind of averted it. But then it was like, there's going to be a major collapse before the, you know, before the election. And, you know, you're not to do anything about it. You know, I don't want you selling stock short or doing anything that will enrich yourself. But once this happens, and I was told then that Obama would be elected president. And they said, and your life won't be the same again. And boy, did that not come true. And I look back at the election of Obama, and I understood his speech because he spoke like a communist. You know, I'd studied thought reform and communism in depth and re-education system and all those things. And, you know, the guy spoke out of both sides of his mouth. For instance, I remember him saying that he believed the only true marriage was between a man and a woman, and he supported that. All right? You know, I remember him specifically speaking about that once. And I sat there and I said, you know, why do I not believe him? Now, if you looked at his life, you know, he's married, he's got two kids. But I realized that what he was doing was he was telling the big lie. He was trying to get, you know, he only got elected because of he got a lot of evangelicals to vote for him. There were a lot of evangelicals and Catholics that voted for him, believing he was far more conservative than what he stated. But then what ended up happening? You know, you had all these states had referendums on marriage. And there was only a few of them that voted for homosexual marriage. Even California,
well, you're looking at
in their proposition, didn't vote for it.
Yeah. You look at what Obama had, and now
right.
What we're learning, even his family there was a lie. So.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's just, yeah. It was just this, you know, he said he was going to create unity. But we began to see the beginnings of identity politics when he came into office. And that every time there was something that surrounded, you know, a white officer and somebody black, there was an automatic assumption that there was racism. But it started gently. It started gently. And then when the Supreme Court got into the marriage issue, which they should have stayed out of, marriage was never a federal issue. All right. And any faith I had in Justice Kennedy went right on that blew it. All right. And he was compromised.
Somewhere. Yeah.
And well, the story I heard is that he had a gay son. So his concern was that somehow his son would miss out on something.
Okay.
All right, Justice Ginsburg should have never voted on that. She was already performing. And so that happened. And what did they do? They lit up the White House in a rainbow. And little by little, this, you know, we began to see this division begin happening. Now,
yeah.
it didn't really hit a critical mass until Trump got elected. I mean, that's when everything just hit the fan. And now all of a sudden, everything's racism. Everything's, you know, homophobia. everything is this, it's that. Everything's misogynistic. I mean, it just got to be ridiculous. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing people that I've known for years spouting stuff that I never heard before. And I really believe something happened right around that time, because I've talked to other people and they sensed that the change or the pressure happened right before, you know, the summer before the election. And it's like everything got turned upside down. And now words mean nothing.
Well, you know, it was that summer before the election that I walked into my computer and said, okay, where are we on the, you know, on the second coming of Jesus Christ? I hadn't really studied the issue since maybe the late 1980s when we had that 89 reasons for 89. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, where are we on this? And, you know, next thing you know, we're all into the prophecy movement.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, things that happened that have happened since that time, I was talking about it 20 years before to people. You know, the New World Order, this move toward globalism, which I saw being done in both parties.
Right.
They just phrased it differently. I had a long talk with my brother the other night, last night. And I said, you know, I said to him, you remember when I talked about this stuff and you poo-pooed it? And I said, now it's happening. And we're in it. So now, you know, we're in a situation where you have two sides that are irreconcilably divided. There is no way you can be a Christian or even a conservative, all right, and reconcile what you're seeing happening on the left. There's no middle ground here. You know, it's like oil and water.
Right.
And you can't mix them. There is no middle ground, because the presuppositions of reality that we have on reality and worldview are totally incompatible.
Yeah, you can't have a debate anymore, because we're debating from two totally different.
I heard, Gavin Newsom just put a moratorium on all executions in the state. And the argument, and I heard an Ethan Bierman, who is a talk show host, liberal talk show host, who frequently comes on with Tucker Carlson. You know, he'll come on as a guest. All right. And the justification they're trying to use for it, and we're talking murderers here, is they're saying, well, if you read, Bierman's Jewish. He said, if you read Deuteronomy or whatever, he said, capital punishment is an abomination. I mean, we shouldn't be doing it. We're better than that. And I hear Gavin Newsom trying to make the same arguments. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, what Bible are you reading? Now, right here, I'm in Genesis 9. All right? And this is God's covenant with Noah after the flood. All right? Let's read. I want to read a few verses here. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Verse 1. And the fear of you and the terror of you shall be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hands they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And this is critical. And surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast. I will require it from every man From every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, verse 6, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. All right? Now, I think that's pretty. If any beast kills you, kills a man, that beast dies. Any man that takes, who sheds a man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for the in the image of God he made man. So God has now pronounced the death penalty on murder. Am I reading this wrong? Are you there, Tim?
No, I told you where I'd be. But yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're right. You are absolutely right.
All right, now
the thing is, they have the liberal preachers have gone since evolution. You know, the battleground is always back to evolution. All right, I don't care what you're talking about, but they have decided that Genesis is allegory. Therefore, we don't have to take it literally.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when you sit, read in there, it says, "And man shall," you know, we need to take, you know, a life for a life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take that literally.
Right.
It's somehow spiritual. And we've lost it.
Right. But, I mean,
so that's
here's
why
guys
we can't argue
here
with
who are trying to argue from the Bible. All right. And they're trying to say this is what God said. Now, you know, Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he fulfill the law? He took our blood guilt upon himself on the cross. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, some of these sins. Now, I'm in Leviticus. This is the law.
Right.
All right. All right. And God sits here and explains what, you know, things that are punishable by death. All right. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 1 of chapter 18.
18, there we go.
Speak to the sons of Israel and say together, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accordance with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. Now, what does it mean to uncover her nakedness? They're talking here about sexual relations. All right? You're not to have it with your father or your mother. All right? You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness shall not be uncovered. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. All right, this deals with incest. Their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father. She is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. I mean, he just goes on. And he, you know, let's see what else it is. Neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of your Lord, of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with the male as one lies with the female. It is an abomination. You shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. 24, do not defile yourself by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled. Therefore I visited its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. Now that's interesting, because God says that if you do these things, all right, the land will spew you out. That's pretty heavy. The land itself will rebel against you.
Okay, we saw that with Jeremiah.
Right.
We saw that again in 70 A.D. Are we about to see that in America?
We're seeing it. We're seeing it now.
Okay.
Listen, I read an article today in the American Thinker where another guy who is a climatologist.
Yeah.
From India is blowing off this whole global warming thing. He's saying, you know, in history, CO2 levels have had, you know, they have changed pretty radically from time to time, but they had very little effect on temperature. He said the sun is what controls the temperature. How active is the sun? And he talked about many ice ages in the past 2,000 years and heavy warming periods in the last 2,000 years. And he said that and what he's seeing and what a lot of them are seeing is actually the opposite of global warming. It's cooling. We're
right.
Running into a cooling period.
Well, that's why they've gone and changed the...
Right.
Yeah, what... change the narrative from global warming to climate change.
Yep.
Because they're really not sure which direction this thing is going to go.
Yeah. So, exactly. I mean, we've had a really cold winter up here. Now,
yeah.
Last couple winters were pretty mild, but this winter was very cold, and we got a lot of snow. But you look at the weather around the country right now. I mean, look at the. We're going through what do they call it? A bomb cyclone, which is a real large area. I mean,
okay.
I'm on the top of it here, and it's blowing like crazy. But in Dallas-Fort Worth, it was blowing tractor trailers off the road.
Well, I know you saw a picture from New Mexico. Saw a picture in New Mexico today where the. Train got blown off the track off a high bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so, you know, yeah, so we've now justified all this stuff. I mean, sacrificing your children to Moloch. We talked about that last week when we talked about abortion.
Right.
Because it is no different than the same reason they sacrificed to Moloch.
Well, that is sacrificing to Moloch.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You really look at it, you know, why are they fighting so hard? Why are they fighting so hard to keep abortion?
We all know
it's a crime.
Yeah.
But they're fighting
to keep it.
Why?
They're taking it even beyond the birth canal now. They're taking it past birth. All right? And I've heard social scientists say that they should be allowed to kill a child up to like the age of 3 or the age of 5. I mean, there are people actually talking this stuff.
Talking crazy, yeah.
Right? But God says the land will spew you out if you do these things. And it says of the people, for whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. All right? And then he moves into the law of social order. I mean, you read these three chapters. God is very clear. So, you know, Newsom and Bierman and these guys who are talking this other stuff, you are totally out of line with what God has spoken. Totally out of line.
Okay.
All right. Romans 1 explains the process that happens that gets to the point where God spews you out of the land or where he turns you over to reprobation. And it's exactly what's happened in this country. You know, God set up the order of the family. Jesus never contradicted that. He even brought it up to a higher bar than what was being practiced at the time.
Right.
He said, one man, one woman. There was polygamy going on in Israel at the time of Christ. But he said it to a high. He said, no, no, no. You know, there were only special circumstances when a man could take a second wife. And the only one that comes to my mind that I can think of is if a brother dies.
A kinsman
if
redeemer.
If a brother
yeah.
dies, the kinsman redeemer. That is the only exception so that the line of the brother can be continued. That is the only case where it is allowed. Yet now we're having these marriages, what do they call them? Polyamorous marriages going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who is this God that these guys keep trying to tell us? They keep talking about him like he's the God of the Bible. But, you know, I've written this Bible. I've read this Bible so many times, and I have never seen with it. All right? And let's look at some of the other stuff. Chapter 20 of Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Moloch shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Moloch so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. He is saying that killing your offspring, like those other people did, and again, what is the primary excuses for abortion? It's not to save the life of the mother.
No. The primary
All right, it's
is...
always... Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, save embarrassment of the mother or
mm-hmm.
the father.
Right.
Second is, we can't afford it.
Right. Yeah. No.
And
what else?
You're going down the list
my
before
career,
you get to rape and incest.
This is going to affect my career.
Yeah.
This is going to crimp my lifestyle. And I tell people, well, you should have thought about that before you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep hearing people, they talk about sexuality like it's a need for survival. It's not. A person can go his whole life without sex and survive. You need food, water, and shelter. That's primarily what you need for survival. All right?
Right.
The sexuality is a strong urge because God wanted us to reproduce according to his plan. But it is not that. There are people who I've met that have been celibate their whole life. They felt called to it, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And they're doing just fine. They're not even crazy. All right? Denote the difference between urges and needs. You don't need sex. An urge is not on the level of a need. We are not animals. Like, you know, sheep
right.
or goats or whatever. They have that programmed into them. All right? That certain times of the year, they're going to reproduce. All right? That was how God ensured their survival. But man is much higher than those animals. We are created in the image of God. You're telling me God can't control himself? That is ridiculous.
Well, they try to tell you that. I mean, they tell you that Jesus was a homosexual because he ran around with 12 guys. No,
yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
If anything, I kind of believe the people that say that he was married to Mary Magdalene more than I believe that he was a homosexual. But either case, we don't know the facts on that. Okay, we just don't know the facts.
Yeah, obviously he wasn't, because that
right.
would have been sin. All right,
but he said that. He didn't have a place to lay his head. If he was married, I'll guarantee you he'd have a house.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, Peter was
married. Jesus
we
never
know
married.
That because he talked about his his sister-in-law, or his mother-in-law at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the rest of the guys, we really don't know. The Bible is not clear about their home life, but Jesus said he doesn't have a place to lay his head. So therefore,
Jesus knew very early on what his mission was. He didn't come to reproduce. He came to redeem.
Yeah.
Okay? He was a man with a mission. He knew what his mission was. He kept telling them ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. There's that whole it's called the Merovingian theory that he married Mary Magdalene and didn't really even die on the cross. I mean, they just went off late. This is all garbage.
Yeah, that's garbage.
There's no evidence for that. There's no evidence for that at all. All right? Jesus did not marry. All right? And you know what? He didn't sin. Because if he had slept with a woman or a man, that would have been known. I mean, his disciples were around him all the time. And the thing that amazed them was his sinlessness. The man didn't sin. Jews understand sin. At least in those days they did. Some of them today, I'm not so sure.
Well, I'm not sure they totally understood sin because Jesus had to go and correct them.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't understand how deep sin runs and how deep God looks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, even with that, he had a good idea of what the sin nature was, but at the same time, he did not run around. You know, he did not do it, and he spent more of his time forgiving sins than condemning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you look at chapter 20. Like I said, we got into Moloch. Okay, let's look at what else is heavy duty, because he's now dealing with penalties. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourself, therefore, to be holy. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If there is a man, by the way, he doesn't discriminate between men and women. He says both will be put to death. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, and all that, what does he say? They shall surely be put to death. If there is a man who lies with the male as those who lie with the woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltness is upon them. I mean, he goes through all this stuff.
And yeah, that's the reason why the previous generation kept in the closet. Because there was a curse on it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, and Jesus never disputed these laws.
No.
All right. He never disputed them. You know, if you go to, if you study the woman who committed, was caught in adultery, that was a setup when they brought that woman before Jesus. And she never denied that happened.
No.
But that was a setup. They were trying to get at him. So they used her. And it says he wrote in the sand. He was writing in the sand. I believe he was writing the sins of all those men that had set that woman up.
I would just think he was listing names.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the women that, I mean, it wasn't like he was saying anything that, you know, so-and-so did this. No, he just, you know, Mary, Samantha,
yeah.
Terry, just listing names
right.
And like, he knows mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he sat there and he looked at those men and said, he who is without sin, when he was saying that, he who is without sin, do you know what he was really saying? All of you who didn't do this yourself, cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
And they all dropped their stones and walked away because he had them. Another thing, they violated the law in what they did. Why did they violate the law, Tim?
Cover up their own sin.
No, goes past that. What does the law say about the two parties involved?
Both need to be put to death.
Exactly. Where was the guy at that committed the sin? Where was he at?
Yeah.
He wasn't there. That was an illegal, basically an illegal trial. All right?
They're pretty good at the illegal trials, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. All right, it was illegal. So then
so,
they all
so
leave.
Jesus is the illegal then, trial wasn't the first one they conducted.
So they all leave, and what does Jesus say to the woman? He says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "I don't know. You know, they've left, Lord. I don't know." Now he knew what happened, and he had, you know what? He had power and the legal right to stone her himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't guilty of that sin. All right? But he understood what had happened here. That they set her up to get to him. So he, at that point, showed mercy. Wasn't even grace, he showed mercy. And he said, "Then I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Just go on your way and do what you've been doing." No, he said, "Go and sin no more." And the reason he said, "Go and sin no more," was because if she did it again, she was probably going to die. That was like the warning. Don't do it again.
Right.
Now, these things are important because, you know, I see these people say, "Well, the Bible says this in the Bible." No, it doesn't. And when I hear Newsom try to say that it's not Christian to do this, all right? When I hear stuff like that, what I'm saying is there is nowhere in the New Testament where any Jesus or any of the apostles didn't taught that there wasn't to be a death penalty for murder. There is not that teaching anywhere. In fact, if you know, we listed a bunch of offenses. We listed sacrifice to idols, consulting mediums, you know, sexual sins,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff were death penalties, all right? But Paul, what does Paul say in Romans 1? I mean, he deals with this. And he's speaking to the Gentiles. He's saying this is natural law.
Yeah.
They didn't know the scripture. All right? He said, all right, verse 32. All right, let's see. I think it's verse 32 of Romans 1. "And although they know the ordinance of God, that all those things they did, you know, it starts with idolatry, and then it moves to foolishness, and then, you know, they profess themselves to be wise, and then later God gives them, now God begins to do stuff. He gives them over to the lusts of their heart, to impurity. And God gives them over to degrading passions. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." And then he goes into what happens, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So I sit there and I look at what happened in New York on the abortion issue a few weeks ago. It wasn't like they were doing this sorrowfully. They were cheering it on. And then they lit up the spire of the Freedom Center, the New World Trade Center, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They light the spire up pink. I mean, it's like they're actually...
Yeah, how sick is that? That looks like a needle up there that's full of blood.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they rejoice over that. So they're not not only practicing things that are worthy of death. I mean, you know, Cuomo, the governor, is real concerned because he's running into conflict with what he was raised with. All right? Abortion is forbidden in the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And he's concerned how he can reconcile what the church teaches to what he's doing. And very simply, he's excommunicado. Just by doing what he did is an automatic excommunication. It amazed me watching CNN and seeing Chris Cuomo with ashes on his forehead. Ash Wednesday. When what these guys advocate is an abomination. It's a legal abomination according to God, and it is an excommunicable abomination according to the church that they belong to. And also the same thing in a Protestant church. Not just the Catholics. We would feel the same way.
Okay.
If Chris Cuomo or his brother were members of my church, they would be brought before the elders. First, I would talk to them. And if they didn't, they would be brought before the elders. And if that didn't work, they would have been brought before the congregation and they would have been proclaimed excommunicated from the body.
Okay. 3 minutes, Vince.
So people, you know, don't play with the word of God. And don't be making it up as you go, because you are going to suffer double the penalty for doing it. It's time to stop this nonsense. It is just plain time to stop the nonsense. And if you're going to play the nonsense, I'm going to call you out on it. You know, I'm tired of playing this game. You are either of Christ or you're not. And if you're not of Christ, I don't care what church you go to or who you are or whatever. You are of Satan. There is no middle path. There is no middle ground. Jesus was very clear on that. He said the path was narrow, and the path leads to him. There is no other. So you decide right now, because your destiny depends on it. For those of you that don't believe, and you're hearing this, if this has had any conviction on you, you need to repent right now. And you need to swear your allegiance to Christ. But if you don't swear your allegiance to him, not only are you not going to weather what's coming, but you're going to find yourself in a place that you don't want to be in. Hell is no joke. And it never, ever, ever ends. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, we pray for the repentance and salvation of souls, that, Lord, you are loving. You don't want us to perish. The whole reason for all these things, for your law, was to show us that we are on the way to perdition. And Christ came to redeem us from perdition. He paid the penalty so we don't have to. And he is the one that will change us. Because when the Holy Spirit comes inside, he begins the transformation. Lord, I pray right now that those that are hearing will heed the warning, because time is running out. And you don't want to be, you want to be with the saints. You want to stand before the Lord in praise and worship and glory and ecstasy. You do not want to be in hell with the devil laughing in your face, laughing at you for your stupidity and your rebelliousness. You want to be with the Lord, because you're going to live, rule, and reign with him forever. Remember that song, "Lord, lift us up where we belong"? People, yep. Let the Lord lift you up where you belong.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see you guys next time, here, there, or in the air.
His purpose in me, he said.